I desire your prayers for the Lord to bless his word this morning, and I would like to begin with the 37th chapter of Psalms. I'm going to look at the first 9 verses. And it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily, thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. And fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." This is quite a passage that we may read it from time to time and get good out of it. Maybe every time we read it, but it has been a while since I have been inspired and have read this passage. And I believe that the Lord is directing this for our encouragement today. As I was studying this part and looking in some of the commentaries, there is some comments that are made before the chapter, before the comments, that I feel had merit. I'm not going to be giving them verbatim, but I'm going to be giving what I was impressed with. It said that this psalm was a sermon. It called it an excellent, useful sermon. That this particular psalm did not really contain the devotions similar to other psalms. There's not really the praise. We could praise the Lord and his ways as a result of what the reading is here, but it called it that it was devoted for our conduct, or our conversation and conduct being the same. This psalm said, it says it was given for instruction. It's a teaching psalm, a detailed presentation to the difficulty that comes with the relationships, and offers the solution of those difficulties. That's the comment that was made concerning this psalm. The theme of this psalm teaches to carefully do our duty and then patiently leave all events to God. This chapter encourages faith that no matter how black things may look at the present, it shall be well with those who fear God and keep his commandments. I like that. So this morning we want to examine this little passage a little bit more. There are some key phrases that we're going to be looking at. We find this phrase throughout this passage, fret not thyself. The next phrase was trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way. Wait patiently. Cease from anger. Put away wrath. Just some very key phrases that are in all of these verses that we want to consider this morning. This was a, it says at the top of that chapter that it's a psalm of David. And as looking at it and in light of the comments that were made, we would have to say that David had some experiences along these lines. He had thoughts, he had feelings. I would say he was even tempted. It is in humanity to give way to vexed spirits or vexing thoughts when the way seems dark, when there's trouble that comes our way and we don't see a way out. We maybe don't even see the end of a thing. And the enemy has a way of vexing our spirit and disturbing our peace. And I would say that David had those kind of experiences that prompted him to write these words. He had to have had these thoughts before he wrote them down. The scripture speaks about David speaking to himself as he lays upon his bed. Maybe he was in a sleepless state. I don't know this as a fact, but in my mind, I know that when we are faced with situations that sometimes sleep is very hard to come by because our mind will not shut down. And maybe David was in that place, and maybe he had to even say these things to himself. You don't need to fret yourself because of this. Don't fret. And he said it to himself many times throughout these few verses. When David maybe looked at the prosperity of those that were around him that weren't doing right, they were called wicked and evildoers. Maybe he was tempted to compare their success or their prosperity to the battle that he was going through, the trouble in his mind. Maybe he was tempted to say, where is my God? He wrote that in different other places. He said that others would look on and say, where is your God? Maybe he had that temptation. But when he wrote these things down, I believe that he was simply saying, remember what's going to happen to those that don't walk uprightly, for those that don't choose the way of the cross. There is an end, and there is an end to every person's life, however they choose, whatever they pursue in life, there is an end. And I think that in writing this passage, David had to remind himself, there is an end for me. It's what I choose for my life, my reactions, my behavior, my conduct, how I react. It's going to depend on my end. So I believe that when he said in this passage, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb, speaking of the workers of iniquity, I don't think he was saying that with joy. I don't think he was saying, oh, yay, they're going to come to their end. I believe he was simply saying, you better remember what your end is going to be. You've got to take care of your end. I believe that he considered his own actions. You and I cannot help what others do. We can only take care of our own soul. And the scripture says that your soul is in your hand continually. So we cannot control what others do, but we can control what we do. So I want to look at this word fret. Fret not thyself. When I looked up this word fret, it was an extensive word. It means to be vexed, annoyed, or troubled. But there is another level or result of being vexed or troubled or fretting. It says worn, chaffed, or corroded. And this word corroded, it means to rankle or fester or to become agitated. But there was an interesting point that it took it to. And it says to wear away or eat away by corrosion. So when we fret, there is a beginning point of fretting. There is something that sparks it. There is something that begins to work in us. Now we can stop it right there, and we can be the better off for it. The enemy is not willing for you and me to gain a victory quickly. He loves to take us into a place that our fretting, our trouble, our annoyance, our vexations will take us a little bit farther. And eventually it will begin to corrode. It will begin to wear away. And there is an end result in fretting. It will pay you and me to be very alert to our feelings and our reactions and to consider the things that are in our mind, the thoughts that we have. When we're faced with these places, as we read, dark places, and we cannot see a way out. The corrosion is a gradual process, and it will ultimately destroy. It could be likened to a cancer. Corrosion and cancer are very similar. Just different. One is more into the body, and one is more into like the metals that react with different chemicals. There's a reaction, see? And so with our spirit, we can have a reaction that affects our victory, our progress with the Lord, our faith. It will affect our reactions with other people. It will affect the way that we think, the way that we feel. It will react in our emotions. It is just part of our humanity. In the commentator, it said fretfulness is like rottenness to the bones. And then he said, it is a kindness that we are warned against it. So I think that I believe the Lord is sending us a little caution to be alert, to recognize when my spirit is being vexed to the point of being corroded. and wearing away, eating away at my faith and my confidence in God. So the next word or the next phrase is trust in the Lord. And then I put you do good. Yeah. Trusting in the Lord is putting our faith and confidence in Him. Yeah. Knowing that He knows all things, that He is seeing all things, He hears all things. It pays you and me to remind ourselves that He is a discerner of our thoughts and the intentions of our thoughts. He is fully aware when my spirit is vexed. And He's fully aware what the enemy is trying to do with that vexation. And He's fully aware of that point when I have said, it's enough. I am taking this to the Lord. He knows. So He is fully aware of how you and I are going to react. And He says, you do good. You do what is right. You choose the right. That passage also says that if we do the right, we'll dwell in the land. And I said, in the land of promise. God has more promises for you and me to stand on and to claim by faith than anything else in this world, to offer any kind of consolation, any kind of solution. You can go get solutions anywhere. You can go get someone else's opinion or someone else's sympathy. But I want to tell you, the one that has paid the price to heal the heartache, only Jesus can afford. He's the only one. And He says, I want you to live in the land of promise. I want you to get a hold of the promises of God and learn to stand on the promises and learn to claim the promises by faith and believe them. Amen. It says we will be fed. That's the result of trusting in the Lord. That's the result then of making the right choice to do good. The next phrase that is in this passage is delight thyself in the Lord. And the result is He will give thee the desires of thine heart. So I want to speak just a little bit about delighting ourselves in the Lord. This word delight means great pleasure or gratitude or joy. He's looking down on, did you know he's observing us when we're in the good times? When we're in the good times, we can have a tendency to slip and not really count our blessings and not really look and say, oh God, thank you for that and thank you for that. Showing gratitude when we're in the good times. Oh, it's important that we cultivate gratitude to the Lord, that we cultivate great pleasure. Great pleasure in what? His word. Great pleasure in His presence. Great pleasure when I come before Him and begin to pour out my heart. Listen, the world has a way of having someone to go to and pour your heart out. Don't you know that they have the right idea? And that God has the best idea. He's made a plan for you and me to come before Him boldly to the throne of grace and to be able to pour out our heart before Him. We can tell Him every thought, every wound, every hurt. We can express it to Him. He's listening. And He knows how to help us in a perfect way. And he wants us to delight ourselves in Him, to take great pleasure in living for Him, great pleasure in His promises and in His word, pleasure in that secret time with Him in prayer. I want to tell you, the enemy contests those two things. when we're vexed, especially. Our minds can't hardly take it in when we open up the Word and we try to find something to read and we can't find anything to inspire us. And then we try to go to prayer and our mind is running here and there. I want to tell you, the Lord can cover our minds. We as human beings of the earth, I've told this before. An experience that I had a number of years ago, and I still use it. It still is effective today. I came from the Lord. I was going through a very hard place, a very dark place, and I could not pray. I was so vexed in my spirit, I could not utter one sentence in prayer without my mind being so troubled. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, for me to say these words, cover my mind, cover my spirit, cover my emotions. That's us. Our mind, our spirit, and our emotions is our humanity. And I began to use those words. What does he want us to be covered with? His blood. And I began to pray those words. Lord, cover my mind. Cover my spirit. Cover my emotions. I would get calm. I could say two sentences and it would be back. Don't be discouraged if the enemy fights you in that same way. Keep doing it. I continued to use those words. Cover my mind, cover my spirit, cover my emotions. And I could say two more sentences. And I was able to gain the victory with that weapon. And that's what he wants to do. And then he wants us to delight, to be so grateful and have joy that he's brought us through and he's brought us out and he's given us the victory. And we look at that and we count it greater than all of the wealth of this world. And that's what it is to delight in him, because he wants to turn around and give us the result of it. And the result is he'll give you the desire of your heart. He loves to give, bless his children. He loves to see, oh, I'm not talking about the desires that the world would ask for. Our desires are in him, and he'll give it to us. So to delight in him, there's a scripture over in Psalms 103 that is familiar to us all. It tells for you and me to bless the Lord. We want to be blessed of the Lord, but he says, now you bless me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. When I am delighting in him, I am wanting to give up this part of me that is entertaining or holding on. We can pass through things sometimes that we almost feel like I deserve to think on that, or I deserve to entertain that. I will pet that thing. Don't pet hurts. Turn them loose. God will be blessed and you will be blessed. But it goes on and it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Oh, it is a great benefit to have the Lord, to be on his side and he's on your side. It's a great benefit. All of the benefits of your job, the sick leave, the annual leave, the vacation, the whatever kind of benefits is nothing compared to the great benefits of having the Lord to turn to in your dark time. There's nothing to compare it to. Listen, man, the song says, and I quoted a little, man may try to comfort, but God can only afford the balm. We can share our troubles with others. I don't believe God is saying don't do it. But he's saying you must lean on me. I am the one that can really help you. So this passage here says, here's the great benefits. He forgives all of our iniquities, and he heals all of our diseases, and he redeems our life from destruction, and he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, and he satisfies my mouth or thy mouth with good things. He does good things for us, and it will cause you and me to delight ourselves in him. Another scripture says for you and me to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? He'll direct every path that you meet. We're on a single path, but I want to tell you there's things that come in that path that we may feel this is the end. I'll never smile again. I'll never laugh again. Oh, that's how I felt after our daughter was taken. I thought, my life is over. But I want to tell you, God has led in every path since then. He's been our God. He's been our Savior. He's been our friend. And he will continue to be. And we can delight ourselves in the Lord. Thank the Lord. There is another scripture in Jeremiah 10 and 23 that is also familiar, but it's good for us to read these and to quote them and remind ourselves of it. I may have written down the wrong one. It is not in man that walketh. 10 and 23 of Jeremiah. Oh, I looked at the wrong chapter then. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't know how to guide our lives, but he does. And he will do it. He has done it. You can look back in your life, no matter how long or how short of a time you've been living for the Lord, and you can trace his hand. He has led you to this day, and he will lead you all of the way. He'll order your steps. The next part of that verse there in Psalms 37 is committing our way. The marginal reading says, roll thy way upon the Lord. This word committing is a weighty word. It has so much to do with my will. Whether I'm willing to give it to him and say, Lord, I can't bear this. You know, we are the sheep of his pasture. He is the shepherd. And he chose to call us sheep. And he wants us to understand that sheep needs care. They are helpless without the shepherd. They would be lost. They would die. But the shepherd is their care, their caregiver. One unique characteristic of sheep is that they are not burden bearers. They aren't capable. They're not like a donkey or even a goat or any other animal. They can bear heavy loads. but he calls you and me sheep of his pasture. And he says, I can bear this for you. He says, I will not give you more than you're able to bear. But what you need when you're feeling like it's more than you're able to bear is to look for the way of escape. Because he says, I will make a way for you to escape that you will be able to bear it. Yes. So he's looking on us now and he's saying, I want you to commit your way unto me. In other words, give it to me. And the Proverbs 16, we're going to give you now some scriptures to confirm that that's his desire, that you and I not bear all of our burdens alone. Proverbs 16 and 3, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Oh, how we need our thoughts established when we're passing through a valley. We need our thoughts to be calm. We don't need our thoughts to be vexed and troubled and corroded. We don't need that. But he said, if you'll just commit your works unto me, I will establish your thoughts. And in Psalms 55 and 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Oh, it is not an easy thing to cast something on the Lord, to say, Lord, here it is. I give it to you. We may have fully intended to do it, but we may have good intentions. And yet that thing can come back just about as fast as we cast it upon him. But what do? Go ahead and just take it back on and just keep it. Cast it again. Cast it again and again until you are able to really leave it with him. He does not want his people to be moved. And then the last scripture is 1 Peter 5 and 7. And it says, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. In the Greek, has some different words that fit that particular passage. And it says, casting all your anxiety or distracting care. Can cares become distracting? They can. And then it says, cast all of your anxiety and your distracting care on him, for he meddles or concerns himself with the things that interest you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what concerns you concerns the Lord? I believe it. He would not tell us to come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need if he was not desiring to share our burdens and our cares and our concerns and all that matters to us. It matters to him. So whatever things concern you and me, we must believe that it matters to him. Whether it's temporal, is he concerned about our temporal needs? He is. Whether it's spiritual, most definitely we know he's concerned about our spiritual needs. What if it's something that's so small we think, oh, Lord can't, you know, that's so small, why do I need to take? No. Whether it's big, great, or small, take it to the Lord and leave it there. See what he will do. Isn't that part of the song? Just trust him and be true. and see what he will do. He'll never disappoint your soul. When you have done your best, let Jesus do the rest. Just keep your eye upon the goal. So he is concerned about my concerns. There's a scripture that says, in all of their afflictions, he was afflicted. Just a little scripture there tells me he is concerned about what concerns me. So going on down in the 37th chapter of Psalms, we'll finish up with the latter part. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And then again he says, fret not thyself. The 8th verse says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And again, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. This part that says rest in the Lord, a marginal reading says be silent before him. Now, I know that that's not talking about prayer. I believe what that is saying is don't feel like you can tell the Lord what to do about your problem. You're going to have to give it to him. You're going to have to take your hands off. You're going to have to step back and be silent. You don't know how to direct your own path. I don't know how to direct my own path. I may know, Lord, I want you to do it this way. I want you to do it that way. But I believe this scripture is saying, be quiet. Let me work. Let me do what I know is best for you and for this situation. So, cease from your own wisdom and understanding. It could mean that too, to be quiet. Recognize I don't know how for this to work. And it's I wrote down here, cease from your own works. Just be silent before him. And then when it comes to prayer, we never quit praying for whatever need, whatever situation that we are in, whatever dark path my path has come to, prayer is the key. Prayer is my weapon. The scripture says, pray without ceasing. We pray in the Spirit. We pray with faith. We continue to pray without telling him what to do. We can ask him to help us. But we have not the wisdom to tell him, Lord, do it this way. And then it says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Check the stirrings of your spirit. There are people, when they pass through certain things that they cannot understand and they don't see an end, and they are troubled and vexed, and then they begin to point a finger at God. Have you ever heard of people doing that? Some people get angry with God because life has turned out the way they didn't want it to. You and I must guard the stirrings of our spirit. The thoughts that may come into our mind that would direct anger toward God. Don't ever allow that to come into your heart or life. It will not work. It will only work against you. So do not allow any hard thoughts to come concerning God's work in your life. Another thing, if we allow anger or wrath, it opens our lives up to temptations that he won't be able to help us with because it will be founded upon anger or wrath. So this morning, I trust that these little thoughts will be an encouragement to us. He wants to help us. He will help us. He will go before us. He will prepare the way. He will order our steps, and we can delight ourselves in Him. He will give us the desire of our heart. We will be living in the land of promise. We will be fed. Oh, I want to tell you this morning that the Lord is precious. And He wants you and me to continually believe it and act on it and rely upon Him. Pray for me.